This is Wade Brasky with the Chief Organizer's Report, Protesting in America. Protesting and protest is deeply embedded in American history, whether popular or not. Professor Gloria Brown Marshall, a constitutional law and Africana studies professor at John Jay College, part of the City University of New York, channeled her personal history and took on the mammoth task to write a protest history of the United States. The job was probably impossibly hard to begin with, but on Wage World, she described how she broadened the definition of protest even more expansively to write almost a history of America from indigenous struggles to our times. For Brown Marshall, street protests are crucial, even spiritual, but they are also diverse ways to resist or object to governmental overreach, civilian violence, unfair treatment, corporate harm, and abuse by the powerful. Protests can be slave revolts, written petitions, and urban uprisings, Rosa Parks quietly remaining seated, or anti-war students holding a teach-in. It can be sitting in segregated restaurants or refusing to ride in segregated buses, taking a knee, putting fists in the air, or financially supporting or deserting certain groups can be protests. Maintaining one's cultural identity in the face of forced assimilation, artwork, or integrating elitist groups all can be forms of personal, professional, and performative acts of protest. By her definition, protest is as American as apple pie. This was a different kind of history, and its rewards were many. Here's a sampling. She name-checks Eloise Cobell, a Native American banker from North Dakota who served with me at the Tides board for years, and her role in the fight, finally successful, to win unfulfilled treaty terms from the U.S. The colored citizens of Springfield, Massachusetts, showed up for their role in protecting fugitive slaves. She argues that even keeping family history alive is protest. Like her own as a member of a family of exodusters in Kansas after the Civil War. Who remembers that the term rednecks originally came from the miners' strike at Mattawan, where the strikers all wore red handkerchiefs around their necks so they knew who was on their side and didn't shoot each other rather than the Pinkertons mobilized by the mine owners. Many of us have been anti-war protesters, and given what's happening in Iran, this could be mainstream again, given the distaste the public has for Trump's war. But who remembers the 1919 decision in Schneck versus the United States when the Supreme Court ruled that protest of the military draft was a violation of the Espionage Act, passed in 1917. Schneck did 10 years for passing out flyers at an induction center. Marcus Garvey, the black nationalist, launched one ship to Africa that sailed from the port of New Orleans. Civil disobedience, Brown Marshall argues, includes marching without a permit, an Acorn principle for the last more than 50 years. Lombard versus Louisiana is one of the key suits to segregating U.S. restaurants. Alabama first, then Arkansas, tried to get the membership list of the NAACP. In the 1960 case, Bates versus Little Rock, Daisy Bates, head of the Little Rock chapter, and Bertie Williams, who led the North Little Rock group, refused to disclose the names, almost bankrupting the organization and facing contempt until the Supreme Court ruled in their favor. Protests can be large or small. We always train new organizers in the community or the workplace that there is always a history of struggle, and they need to listen for it when beginning to support people in forming a new organization. History helps prove that point and rewards those willing to look and listen. This is Wade Brasky. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.